Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm interviewing Josh Fitzmaurice, who was a certified public accountant who was misdiagnosed and in January of 2017 became chronically ill after his nervous system was damaged by a prescribed benzodiazepine. He was too ill to continue his job as an accountant and had to move back home with his mother to begin his road to recovery. His life became a constant battle to keep a positive mindset and never give up hope that he would get better. He knew he had to find a healthy distraction to keep his mind busy, and that's when he had the idea to try to learn fashion design, something he had always been interested in. His company, SlickShades.com, was born out of his iatrogenic illness. Slick Shades is the first part of a much bigger lifestyle brand focused on positivity, compassion, and kindness. No matter what, find the good. His story will inspire anyone listening. Please stay tuned for the post show after the interview. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the podcast. I am so glad to have you on today.
Thanks for having me.
So what led you to being prescribed a benzodiazepine?
It's kind of a crazy story, but I originally went to a doctor for neck pain. So I used to be an accountant. So I was like constantly at a computer and stuff. So I was having kind of chronic neck problems for a little while. So I had gone to the doctor for that. And instead of like saying like go to a physical therapy or something, I was actually given a pain drug. And then I took that like at night and I woke up and I thought I was like having a heart attack. I went to the ER and they said that they think like I had a nocturnal panic attack and they contact my PCP and follow up with him. So I did that, and then he said like he didn't think it was a medication and that he thinks I am developing panic disorder. And he gave me Lexapro and Ativan and was like, oh, just take these, it'll fix you right up. Like, I give this to a lot of my patients, blah blah. And meanwhile, I've never taken anything in my life. Didn't really have like any anxiety except like sometimes like situational anxiety for like a big test or like sport event or something,
which is normal.
Yeah. So then I took like the Lexapro one time and I kind of got like super paranoid. So I called him and told him what was going on. He's like, okay, just stop that and start taking the Ativan twice a day. So then over the course of like a month, my anxiety that I never had before, like became kind of out of control. And, I was having all these stomach issues. The doctors thought I had like neurovirus or something, 'cause I kept like having upset stomach and lost like over 20 pounds in like the first month. And then I got a new doctor and I told him I'm like I think it's the benzos and I wanted to get off of it, and he's like, okay, we'll switch you to Klonopin because it's easier to get off of than Ativan. And then he prescribed me the same amount, which was like the 0.5 milligrams, but then I found that Klonopin's like the strongest one, and 0.5 of Klonopin is like double what Ativan was. So I took one Klonopin and it made me like zombified. So I started like cutting that, and then kind of trying to taper myself off. Even before that, I tried to stop the Ativan after a month and just like cold turkey. And I made it like 3 days of like no sleep and not being able to eat and stuff. And I decided to like reinstate and taper off. And that's when like I got switched to Klonopin, and that just made everything worse, I think. I was only on it a total of 3 months, including the 1 month taper.
Right.
And pretty much all hell broke loose after trying to get off that.
But it immediately harmed your gut.
Yeah. So yeah. I had like all these weird things happening that I was like, they were basically just trying to diagnose me with XYZ. And like, I think Oh, they put me on like mirtazapine, saying that it would help like my appetite. So it was just like I was having all these weird stuff. Like one thing, I would like be swallowing, and it would feel like I would get food or whatever stuck in my throat. Like just like bizarre things. And I even got like a endoscope. I forget what it's called, where they look
Oh,
in.
the endoscopy, yeah.
Yeah, where they look in your throat to see, and see if like anything would get stuck. And I drank like the dye stuff. And even when they like told me to swallow something, and it went like right down to my stomach, but it to me it felt like it was stuck still.
Yeah, this and I, you know, it's funny as you're mentioning all this. I remember when I came off, I had the sensation like my tongue was swelling in my head. You know, and it wasn't, but I felt like it was, and I said, if you take me to the hospital, don't let them give me, you know, a benzo. I mean, it's just what we go through is awful.
Yeah, so that was just like the start of it. And then I'm like, I'm like 27, so I'm like, oh, like I wasn't on it for that long. Like it shouldn't be too bad. But that couldn't be further from the truth, I guess.
Right. It's some for some it didn't matter. For some it was a few pills or a couple of weeks, and but you know, you're now how many years off, Josh?
I was 3 years off April 20th, so a little over 3 years.
Yeah. So, and how do you feel today?
I'm definitely like improved over the years, but still have a lot of issues. Like I still pretty much struggle like every day, but it's like at this point I've dealt with it for so long, it's definitely more manageable.
Right,
And I have a lot
right.
of like coping skills that I've kind of acquired over this time, and try to like just keep hope that it will pass. And I do have like stretches where I'm feeling okay. My problem is like when I get those stretches, I tend to like overdo it, and then it kind of bites me because.
Right. Yeah, I had to be very careful with all my exercise. You know, I learned it has to be done slowly and build up because it knocked me for a loop when I overdid.
That's what happened to me recently. That's kind of why I'm not feeling that great lately. I was
Right.
like, I started playing pickleball.
Oh, it's the rage.
Yeah, we have like a lake by my house with tennis courts and pickleball court. So I started playing that, and I just like overdid it one day, and my body went through for a loop and kind of
Yeah.
sent me back in a wave. But it's just
Right.
crazy, like.
It
How?
is crazy the amount of suffering, you
Yeah.
know, from being a good patient. And you truly were. This just totally blindsided you. So, one of the main reasons that I wanted to interview was to get your story out there because, like many of us, we were not able to work, you know, as a result of being made ill from a prescribed benzodiazepine. And you were certified public accountant and now you have this amazing company, slickshades.com. So you can tell us how that developed. Because here you were sick, you weren't able to work, and now this amazing company. And I want to encourage people that even sick, what somebody is capable of doing.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, I was too sick to like continue my job as an accountant in Boston. So I moved back home with my mom to take care of me. I was actually like bedridden for the first like close to a year. I couldn't really do anything. And then like once I started getting like a little bit better, I always had like an entrepreneurial spirit. Not always, like even before this, like talk with my friend, a couple of my friends. We'd always say like, oh, we're gonna open up a company, and we always like bounce ideas like for different products or like inventions or whatever. So I kind of had this idea one day to start trying to teach myself how to do like fashion design. It all started with like this idea to create like sweatpants that. Or pants that feel like sweatpants, but you can wear them to work. I think
Yeah,
part of it
great
was just
idea.
because I was wearing sweatpants every day because I wasn't going anywhere. But So I was like, to keep as a distract, it all started like as a distraction, a healthy distraction to like kind of keep my mind occupied. So I basically watched YouTube videos and I found this like online course for fashion design and decided to like put my energy into that. And basically made the pants from scratch, with all the designs and the tech packs for manufacturing, and kind of learned the ins and outs of that, and actually had the pants made by like three different manufacturers and got prototypes and stuff. And they came out like even better than I expected. But then I had to like, I was actually looking for sunglasses to like promote my fashion brand, and I kind of came across the wooden sunglasses, and I've always been like super into like nature and kind of all like wood, different wood products and stuff. And I had this idea one day to engrave like inspirational messages into wooden sunglasses. It actually like I was like making my room more healing, and I had like this money tree. And on the money tree, on the pot, it said like wealth is the ability to fully experience life. And that just like really hit me at the time, because like it really, I couldn't really do what I used to or like travel the world and stuff. So it really showed me like experiences are so much more important than money. And
That's beautiful.
yeah, so the first idea came like to start designing like wooden sunglasses, and that was the first quote I ever like engraved inside. So that's kind of where the shift happened. And then I decided to like launch the sunglass brand first because it was more feasible, because you can obviously fit a lot of sunglasses shipping wise in a box and not have to deal with all the sizes for clothing and stuff. So that's kind of how Slick Shades was born. And
And just so people know, Slick is SLYK, and then it's Shades, SHADES.com. And people really need to take a look at that website. The glasses are amazing.
yeah, so basically it's like a mission-based lifestyle brand. So with every pair sold, we plant a tree through our partner, One Tree Planted. They're based in Vermont, so basically I can choose whatever project I want that they're working on and kind of donate my trees to that project. So we did a lot to Australia after like the fires, and California before that. So it's pretty cool. And then we also support this organization on Cape Cod where I'm based, called Calmer Choice. So they go into schools and teach kids about mindfulness, stress coping skills, introduce them to like meditation, and kind of gives them coping tools and to like deal with stress. Like obviously natural mental health recovery is probably my
Right,
forefront.
that's actually very good.
So they're really cool.
So your life took a totally different turn, which is going to better other people's lives. I think God had a different plan for you, even though you got harmed. So with your company, where do you see it going? Because you're so creative, what do you have planned down the road?
Yeah, so I'm constantly coming out with new designs, and I have watches now. I have bracelets. I just released like Cape Cod necklaces with like abalone inlaid. So my like best-selling glasses and like most unique actually have abalone seashell from New Zealand layered onto the glasses.
I saw them. They're gorgeous.
And abalone is actually like a super healing shell, and so it's really unique and definitely the most eye-catching that people haven't seen before.
So I think I had asked before one of because I wear glasses, and do you do prescription glasses?
Yeah, so we actually almost all but one of our styles is RXable, so you can put your prescription in any of our frames. So we don't personally do the prescription lens, but we have a we partner with this online prescription lens provider called Lensable. So it's lensable.com/slick, and basically they can exchange the lenses out for whatever prescription you want, and they have a ton of options. They have the colors, they have progressives, bifocals, any pretty much they can do anything. And my customers get 20% off through our partnership with like a special discount code.
And through your website, can somebody link to them? Is
Yeah.
that how they get there? Okay.
So I have it
All
on my
right.
website under if you if you're on like the homepage, there's like a brand menu option, and under that you'll see like prescription lenses.
Okay. And so are you in retail stores also? I mean, I know we're here, in New England area. Are you in just the New England area or have you branched out?
We're definitely branching out. We were planning on getting in a lot before COVID, and then we kind of switched gears for a bit until things get back to more normal. But we're in probably around like 30, 35 stores, a lot around Massachusetts, but we have a store in Hawaii,
Wow.
California. And then we're getting in Rhode Island, Texas, a bunch on Cape Cod, and then more other local places as well.
And can people find a retail store through your website?
Yeah, I have them all listed. I actually have to update some of them, but most of
Okay.
them are listed on there.
Okay, that's great. So one of the things we have, World Benzodiazepine Awareness Day is approaching us on July 11th, and you have decided to donate 20% of sales to the upcoming documentary as prescribed, which is, great for you to do that. Is there a code a person should use when ordering anything from your website?
Yeah, so we decided to create the code Warrior, and you get 20% off your purchase, and also 20% also will go to the document as prescribed. So I thought that was fitting, just because I always like try to take that mindset that we're like benzo warriors, and like this is such a hellish journey that really no one can understand unless you've actually been through it. And
That's, yeah, it's
it
so
really is,
true.
takes a warrior to like
Yep.
go through what we go through. So
That's right. That's right. So, which is, this is great. So I hope, look at, even if people are sick and they're not working, tell your family members, tell your friends, send Josh's website out to people and use that code Warrior, WARRIOR, so that, we can get more word out about it. And we want his brand to go huge because they are beautiful and well-intentioned. So you and I finally met in person this past year at the State House for the third hearing on the benzodiazepine bill. I always find that when you go to these, it's very, very emotional. And when you got up and you talked and you told your story, I mean, it just, how could I even get emotional now? You was started it and then you had a hard time and your brother got up and he spoke. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
yeah, hard for me too, but
I know because I sit there, even though I went through it, I cry at everybody's story,
I mean, it was definitely like a, I'm glad I did it, and I think it was really powerful, even though I couldn't, I only got out like a sentence, but it's good my brother was there to help me, and he's actually downstairs right now. He helps me now in the company too. Hard to talk about it.
That's okay. I think just you and I just trying to talk about it. I think
Yeah.
people realize how emotional it is because number one, you're in a room with other people that went through what you went through. The first time we did it, that was for me. I mean, I've met people, one-on-one, or we've had them for dinner, whatnot. But this was a room full of people, that suffered the first time. Then we do it a second time, and you're wondering how are they not listening to us? Then we go in a third time. And every time we go, more people, will show up. There's more stories. And I hope to God we're not going to ever have to do it a fourth time because it's very emotional. And you had to come up from the Cape. And when I saw you, it was just, oh. But so here, I had to leave that day as soon as it was over because I had to get to Dana-Farber with my husband. He had immunotherapy. But you got to go out to lunch with everybody, which I wish I could have done. So that was everybody kind of socializing. What was that like? Because I wasn't there. So. I saw pictures and it looked like everybody was having a great time. And it's get you get to be with these people that, all the same. We all went through the same journey.
Yeah, it's definitely like refreshing. Because as you know, like you're constantly like dismissed by doctors and just, and then other people like try to support, but they, no one really understands like fully. Like you just can't like what we go through. So being with like a bunch of other people that know your pain and like kind of have gone through or going through like the same thing, it's like you have that connection even if you like haven't actually met before.
Right, you have like this instant friendship, like your friends forever type of thing, you know. I think everybody, if you didn't have them on your Facebook that day, everybody was taking down information, and you know, I was trying to get as many names as I could before I left, which I would have stayed even longer just to go like 10 minutes up the street. It took us 45 minutes, so we were lucky we got there when we did. But it looked like you were all you know, really, I know I talked to a few people after it, and they said it was just the most amazing time.
Yeah.
So one of the things is you recently got engaged to your beautiful girlfriend, and you know, so congratulations on that. And I, you know, so here you were sick, and you and her have been together, and it just shows the bond between a couple. And because a lot of people lose relationships during this, marriages dissolve, kids don't talk to their parents, parents throw kids out, friends stop talking to people. So tell us a little bit about her and the relationship and how she's been there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the number one thing going through something like this is having a good support system.
Right.
So I was very lucky to have my now fiance, still weird to say that, but
Yeah.
and my mom, like she was also my other savior. But yeah, like we've been together for 5 years, so through this whole thing, and we've had a lot of other stuff in her life and my life too through this time period that kind of exacerbated everything. But I'm just super lucky to have someone that's like super compassionate and caring. She's a social worker, so you can kind of know from that what her personality is. But she definitely helped me through everything, and like when we're together I definitely feel like a greater sense of like safety and less like anxiety, or like when if I feel like symptoms, scary symptoms, like if she's there, it's a lot more easily manageable than if you're like alone or stuff like that. So
Right. I used to say my husband was like my natural tranquilizer. You know, I don't have to tell you. I can just say to him, I feel uncomfortable right now. And he'd be like, okay. Or, you know, Garrett's been a big help with it, or my daughter. You know, you had your certain ones that you can say. And then once you say it, you know, they got your back, you're good. You know, it's very calming.
yeah.
So now one of the things I like to ask people, you know, is what's some of the crazy things that a doctor might have said to you while you were suffering? Because we've been so dismissed in some of the craziest things they've said.
Yeah,
Anything that was
I mean,
said to you?
it was pretty much a constant like, oh, that can't be going on for so long. Oh, you have XYZ. Like, I remember actually the worst thing was I had applied for like long-term disability after I left my job and stuff, and I got like this letter back saying that basically that I'm an alcoholic, and it's like basically that from alcohol and all this stuff, even though I hadn't even drank in 3 years.
Right. I
It's
can't
like,
even believe that one.
yeah, I think what they did was I think like when I had like a therapist or something, one of the questions was like, have you ever blacked out from alcohol or something? And I think I said like, yeah, in college. And I'm pretty sure they just ran with that, calling me an alcoholic. Which I'm like,
God.
it was like laughable, because I'm like, okay, well, I haven't drank in years and I
Right.
still haven't drank.
That's
So
a good one. That's
I
so were
got,
you to were you denied, Josh?
yeah,
Did
I
they
was
deny you fully?
denied fully, even
And you
though
didn't
all
fight it.
my doctors at the time like basically told them everything, that it was from the benzos and that I couldn't work and all this stuff, and they still they basically went around to, I think, four or five different doctors, like the insurance company, until one psychiatrist was basically said that I could go back to work or something. Never met
That's
me, who never called me, never talked to me.
yeah.
It's just crazy. So
Yeah. And so hence from that, when you got denied, is how you started, I guess, doing the creative side of you and creating
yeah,
slickshades.com.
and to be honest, by the time I it actually got to the point where getting denied, because it took months and months and months, I already had like launched Slick Shades and it was doing really good. So even if like I got approved for it, I would not even accepted it because my company kind of took off like right from the get-go. But it was just like, to be honest, I just got the letter, and when I read that, I just ripped it up and threw it in the trash. I was like, I don't even want your money anyways. Like, I'm basically just gave me a little chip on my shoulder that I'm just gonna do my own thing and whatever, prove you wrong type thing. But yeah, through the ER, like I would constantly go to the ER at the beginning, and like the nurse practitioners were actually pretty understanding and like willing to listen and like learn about it. But as far as like the doctors, they're pretty much all like pompous and stuck in there, think they know everything, and just like basically dismiss everything you say and just say that it's all in your head or
It's always blame the patient, not the drug. And you would think after all these years with so many people putting in their applications for disability from benzos, you'd think somebody's going to catch on. And that's one of the things at the State House that we talk about is the amount of money that's gone out because people have just been prescribed without informed consent. I think one of the things, as you were talking about the alcoholic thing, when I got my records from my doctor, the one who prescribed, one of the things I said to her was, I feel like I weigh 1,000 pounds because I actually had an infection after giving birth. And, but I guess what she heard was I was obsessed with my weight. So she, and that's when I got the notes from my doctor and I saw that she put that I had an obsession about my weight. No, what I told you was I felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds, but they don't listen. They're just going to give you a drug and see you later.
yeah.
So Josh, any last words of hope that you would like to leave for encouragement to somebody listening? Because again, you took a horrible situation, you turned it around to have this amazing company. What would you say to somebody?
Yeah, basically, like, I try to look at the positives that have come out. Sometimes it's hard to find them, but I feel like as a person, I've like grown 100 times in the last 3 years than I could have like ever imagined. I just feel like I'm a lot more compassionate, like kind, just like a million times stronger. And I feel like once I get over this hump, and I think most people feel that way, like nothing in our lives will ever compare to what we've already been through. So life will just be like so easy after being
We've
healthy.
learned to handle stress so much better than most people.
Yeah, exactly. So I definitely like feel like just my mindset has been a positive shift, and I don't take things for granted, and I don't judge anyone, and I just feel like a much better person in general. And I feel like through struggle, like you get comes like the most strength, and most growth. So I've one of the main quotes that I always use, or I even put in my glasses and stuff, is like, difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. So that's kind of like the mindset that I try to take, and I just want everyone to know that like it does get better over time, and not to lose hope, and don't let anyone else like dictate how you're feeling, and just hang in there and keep going.
Good. Beautiful, beautiful words of hope and encouragement, Josh. So that's a great way to end the show. And I want to thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Garrett, we just finished a very emotional interview with Josh Fitzmaurice from slickshades.com. How do you think it went?
I thought it went really well, and this was one that I had been looking forward to us doing since that day at the State House, you know, for two reasons. One, because, you know, having the job that I have, I think you become desensitized to people testifying in those hearings, because I go to them a few times a week. You know, I hear people testifying on emotional bills all the time, whether it's I'm behind the dais or with this one I'm at the back of the room with Representative McMurtry. And to see somebody get up there and have to tell the story about how he lost his life and he's had to rebuild it since, and then he can't get through it because it's so emotional, and his brother steps right up to the table and delivers his words for him. It's a very emotional moment, to the point that even other politicians in the room, you could tell, were taken back by, you know, what a special moment it was. The other one is Slick Shades. So, funny enough, I've had other people send me links to Slick Shades, not even knowing that we have this connection to Josh. It's a really cool company, and
with a great purpose.
Great purpose, and he's doing great work with it. And I haven't ordered my Slick Shades yet, but I have picked up my favorite pair, so I'm gonna do that soon. And so I was looking forward to doing this one.
Right. I mean, I didn't think I'd cry because, you know, we were there. I cried then, and even just when you're talking, it's just very emotional because it was such a good story. But, you know, we just want people to see the hope in this, because even though he's still having some problems, he's moved forward. And you do. I think something about going through benzo withdrawal, we become more in tune to other people's feelings. It changes us in a lot of ways, makes us stronger in a lot of ways. And, you know, you're going to get to the other side. And for some, we do know they don't fully recover, but they're not looking at maybe what the drug has done to their body. I had to look further into what has it done to my body and fix that. And, you know, and the good thing is through all of this, Josh and his girlfriend, his now fiance, you know, they're engaged. And I mean, he's had a great support. And we constantly on the shows talk about how important support is. So this is one of the reasons we do the podcast. Let your families listen to us. We are real people. There's real suffering here. And support your people going through it, because you're going to have an amazing person on the other end.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So if for any, we just want to again say that if you go to Slick, S-L-Y-K, Shades, S-H-A-D-E-S.com, if you buy any of his products and you put in the code word warrior, 20% of the sale is going towards As Prescribed.
And we'll put that in the description of the
show.
And
we'll put that in the description of the show, too. So, and please, if you just send his website out to as many people as possible, we really want his company to go big, 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 big. All right. Well, thank you again, Garrett. And thank everybody. We just want to thank you all for listening.